Welcome to the Marlton Assembly of God Sermon Podcast. Our church is focused on developing fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We hope you are blessed by this message.
So we're in a sermon series on wisdom. These people obviously did not have it, and they need some more. But during the month of August, I know it's summertime, people are traveling, we understand that, that may be good. But we also thought we should not lose our spiritual dynamic in following the Lord. And so we put a challenge out to the congregation to read the book of Proverbs, one chapter a day. How many by, like obviously there's 31 days, 31 chapters, one day, one chapter a day. How many of you are trailing with us or tracking with us, reading the book of Proverbs? Good. Now if you're not, you can still jump on board today. Today's the 7th. Just read Proverbs chapter 7. And, you know, there's a scripture that talks about reading the Bible and reading out loud. Look at Revelation 1 verse 3. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. The Bible says, and blessed are those who hear it and then take it to heart what is written in it. This morning I want to talk to you about actually the person who wrote the book of Proverbs. His name is Solomon. And his name means peace or peaceable. And so our text this morning is found in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. Solomon made an alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married his daughter. He brought her to the city of David until he finished building his palace and the temple of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. The people, however, were still sacrificing at the high places because the temple had not yet been built for the name of the Lord. Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the instructions given him by his father David, except that he offered sacrifices and burnt incense on the high places. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place, and Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, ask for whatever you want me to give to you. And remember how we talked about if you want wisdom, you have to have an open heart. You can't know everything. You have to be dependent on God. And then you have to simply ask him. If anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God. And that's what Solomon is doing. Solomon answered, you have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne to this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a little child that shows humility and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. Remember, it was the Israelites, over 1 million people. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. For God said to him, since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth or for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment and administering justice. Yes, I'll give you what you have asked for. I will give you a wiser mind than anyone else has ever had or ever will have. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands as David your father did, I will give you a long life. Then Solomon awoke, and he realized it had been a dream. He returned to Jerusalem, stood before the Ark of the Lord's covenant, and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. Then he gave a feast for all of his court. One of the things about reading the Bible, we realize that the God of the Bible, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, like no other God, is that God is an answering God to prayer. When people call on the name of the Lord, God answers when he prays, but especially when people pray in God's will. So a lot of people pray a lot of prayers or bad prayers. They're not pleasing to God. Say, God, I want $1 million. I want to win the lottery. That might be the worst thing for you. You might pray for like the death of your enemy or for riches. That might be bad for you. God loves you and cares about you. But when you pray for God's will in your life, matter of fact, Jesus taught us, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. So when you pray with a humble heart and you say, Lord God, I want to pray what your plan is or your will is for my life or for what you want me to do, it begins to move the hand of God and you'll see more answered prayer. One of the challenges today, at least in the Assemblies of God, let's say a young person wants to go and study to be a preacher or a missionary. Most of our colleges there's not a lot of Bible colleges anymore. So what we're realizing that if we're going to raise up missionaries and pastors and workers, we're going to have to do it right here. And we believe this is God's will, that a young generation, and that doesn't mean if you're older, God's not going to use you, but a young generation would rise up, they would sing for God, they would use wisdom, they make decisions, they preach, they go to foreign land, and God would raise up people to do great works of God right here at Marlton Assembly of God. I believe it with all my heart. One of the strengths of the Assemblies of God is what's called fine arts. How many of you have seen American Idol? You've seen that TV show? Or like, what's the other one where they kind of do the X thing? What's that one called? America's Got Talent. So they take talent maybe across America, young people who have great singing voices or skills, and they kind of eliminate the bad ones, and they get all the way up to the ones in Simon Cowell, whatever, he's really mean, you know, he makes people cry. Anyway, long story. They get to like kind of the top person. The Assemblies of God has what's called fine arts. In every state, it's kind of on a local level, young people participate, singing, poetry, art, rap music, worship team. There's hundreds of categories. And our young people, under Pastor Andy's leadership, every year gets young people involved. So there's usually a day like in March. But for months and months before that, our young people, Brandon, is preparing these young people to sing, prepare, and kind of, it's not a competition. It's really a using your gifts. But there is a reality that the top people, they move on to what's called nationals. And this year, it was in Kentucky. Matter of fact, Asia, when she was a senior in high school, she was the top singer in the whole country, and she sang on stage at what's called Fine Arts. This year it was in Kentucky, but 10 years ago, she was the number one singer in the whole country. And so that's a wonderful thing. That's wonderful. Golf clap. So this past week, our young people, including their families, like the Jeffersons and Millers and other families, Frank, where's Frank? Is Frank here? No, he's not right here. So they all took their vacation time. They traveled on their own expense to get their kids down to Kentucky. That's where fine arts was. And we're so excited or whatever for all of our young people. And I just wanted to, it's not competition. It's not winning or losing. But it is acknowledging that there's young people who have gifts, and we want to see those gifts move forward. I just want to introduce you to a young person. Manny, can I embarrass you? Can I have you come stand up here real quick? Wait, go back to that one. So, Manny, how many were in the, you look at the people. How many competed on your level? What's your category called? Short sermon. So it's like a 5-minute sermon. Obviously, that's short for like a Sunday sermon, but it's a 5-minute. How many were at the national level? 300, who's counting? somewhere around 348. So 348 from all the states. So you probably had thousands on like across the whole country, but 348 in the whole country. Manny Gonzalez was first place in the whole country. Standing ovation. That's good. You may be seated. Pastor Andy, can I just bother you? Can you come up real quick? Yeah. Pastor Andy's been working with Manny and all the young people, Brandon, a great team of people. But we believe in our heart that God, we recognize the call. It's not because we're great, it's because God's great. And he puts the call, we just obey. But we recognize that God has gifts for all of our young people. And through your leadership, through Manny, I know you helped him out a lot with this. Here's what it is. you represented us, Marlton Assembly of God. You represented the Lord and the young people. You inspired them. And on the final night, like Friday's the big night, there's the picture of Manny. He spoke in front of 10,000 young people giving that sermon. That's wonderful. I want to commend Manny. I want to commend our youth pastor for kind of setting the tone and making that a priority. All the youth leaders and all the other young people. Just because you don't win doesn't mean that God's not using you. But let me explain why I share this today. Solomon, when he prayed this prayer, he was 20 years old. Before God, he had a humble heart. And I'm going to tell you about how Solomon messed up at the end, so don't mess up. I'm joking. But you're going to see that God can give you gifts, and if you don't use those gifts, they go away. One more time, let's just show our appreciation for these guys. Good job. He was 20 years old, and before God, he could have said, Lord, give me a long life, give me riches, give me fame. He just prayed this prayer. Lord, just give me wisdom. And I want to just walk through Solomon's life. When somebody asks for wisdom, what are the results? Like, what happens? Now, Solomon's experience is going to be different than yours, but I believe with all my heart that if you'll have a humble heart and you'll ask him, if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God, and God generously gives without finding fault to all people, James chapter 1, verse 5 says, and the Lord will show you. But let's kind of march through Solomon's experience. First, Solomon had insight into problems. There's a famous story, you may or may not know it, about a baby. Have you heard the expression, split the baby? It comes from Solomon. After he receives this wisdom from Almighty God, there was a problem that came his way, and I want you to see how he handled the problem. This is what the Bible says. Now, two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. One of them said, pardon me, my lord, this woman and I live in the same house, and I have a baby while she was there with me. The third day after my child was born, this woman also had a baby. We were alone. There was no one in that house but the two of us. During the night, this woman's son died because she lay on him. Wasn't in the crib. The baby's on the bed. She rolled over on the baby. She got up in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while your servant was asleep. She put him by her breast and put her dead son by my breast. The next morning, I got up to nurse my son, and he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't the son I had born. Moms know their own kids. Isn't that true? Right. The other woman said, no, the living one is my son. The dead one is yours. But the first one insisted, no, the dead one is yours. The living one is mine. There was a fight. So they argued before the king. The king said, so he repeats back, this one says, my son is alive and your son is dead. While that one says, no, your son is dead and mine is alive. Then the king said, bring me a sword. So they brought a sword for the king. Then he gave an order. Cut the living child in two and give half to one and half the other. Now, doesn't that make a lot of sense? Wisdom. The woman whose son was alive was deeply moved out of love for her son and said to the king, please, my lord, give her the living baby. Don't kill him. But the other said, neither I nor you shall have him. Cut him in two. Then the king gave this ruling. Here's the wisdom. Here's how it played out. Give the living baby to the first woman. Do not kill him. She is the mother. When all Israel heard the verdict that the king had given, they held the king in awe because they saw that he had wisdom from God to administer justice. A true mom who loves her own child would rather see the child given even to a stranger than to kill their own baby. Solomon knew that. It was a gift that God had given him to handle problems in their life. Just with a quick show of hands, how many have problems? Let me just see your hands. Okay, the person next to you that did not raise their hand, they're lying. They're lying. We all have problems. Jesus promised us problems. He said in John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble. Take heart. You will overcome the world. Do you know sometimes God layers in problems? He calls them trials to mature you, to make you strong. He says, Sean, hey, listen, I'm going to put a difficulty in your life to make you strong and dependent upon me. That's to help you. Other times we have problems because people are just crazy. Sometimes we make bad decisions. Listen, if you decide to go 90, I think I heard somewhere on, like, in the news, didn't someone went 90, the young person went 90 in a 30 mile an hour in Marlton. Well, he got busted. That's your fault. You don't blame the government. You messed up. And you made yourself, you probably got higher insurance and all that stuff, right? Or other times, maybe somebody else does something bad to you. We live in a sinful world. There's sin that came into the world, and we're full of trouble all around us. But Jesus said, don't worry about it. I have overcome the world. But when you're working through this crazy life that you live, what you need more than anything else is wisdom, and wisdom from above. And Solomon had wisdom when it came to dealing with problems in their life. Now, some people didn't believe him. They had to see for themselves. Even you might say, really? Wisdom from God? How does that play out? There was a lady by the name of Queen of Sheba in 1 Kings chapter 10. She didn't believe it. So she had to see firsthand for herself. Watch. When the Queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon and his relationship to the Lord, she came to test Solomon with hard questions, riddles, if you will, parables, try to trick him. Arriving at Jerusalem with a very great caravan. And this is where the caravan came in, the SUV, the minivan. This is where this all took place right here. When camels carrying spices, large quantities of gold and precious stones, she came to Solomon and talked with him about all that she had on her mind. Solomon, notice this, answered all of her questions. Nothing was too hard for the king to explain to her. There's some people aren't going to believe it, but I want to tell you, through firsthand experience, through the scriptures, that God helps people with their problems. And God will give people wisdom when you don't know what to do. Moms and dads, you need help raising your children. Businessmen, businesswomen, you need to know who to network with and who to stay away from. You need to know when to play the stock market and when to get out. You need direction and help from the Lord. Now, I explain it like this. There is what we call a natural wisdom. I'll give you an example. How many people lock your car at night? Some of you have not lived in the city. All right. How many like lock your house at night? That's normal. And if you don't get it, if someone breaks in, you'll start locking your car and that's just normal. You just kind of know that. You know where to park, just through experience. It's called a natural wisdom. And then there's a general wisdom. For example, like you read the book of Proverbs. You're gonna get wiser and smarter. You read the scriptures. You start maintaining, for example, like finances. You try to live within your means. That's smart. You don't have a big debt and you pay your taxes. Obviously, you pay your tithe. That's just kind of like this ongoing general wisdom. But there is a benefit of being a spirit-filled believer with the issue that it comes down to wisdom. Listen, when we talk about being a Pentecostal or charismatic Christian, we're not just talking about praying in tongues. Please don't hear that at this church. That's what happens, and it's a great blessing to do that, but that's not the point to speak in tongues. The point is that you'll have the Spirit of the living God moving and glorifying Jesus like never before in your life. And there are three scriptures that are found in, I'll just give them to you, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and Romans 12. There are these lists, or what's called the gifts of the Spirit. They kind of go together, the gift of knowledge and the gift of wisdom. The gift of knowledge talks about you know something's wrong. Moms and dads, this is how it works. Your kid tells you something and you feel like something's not right. Have you ever felt that, moms? You don't know what it is, but something's fishy. Let me just tell you what that usually is. You might think, oh, I've been down this road. I've been a teenager. Sometimes it's the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit that's quickening you saying something's wrong. Have you ever had that? You're talking to somebody in business, and they tell you something. You're like, I don't know if I believe you. You probably had it already in church. It's going to be a great service. I don't know. The Spirit of God is called the gift of knowledge, will tell you something's not right. It quickens your brain. The gift of wisdom will tell you how to go about it. Let me give you an example. You remember Jesus? And by the way, he had all the fruits of the Spirit and all the gifts of the Spirit working in his life, but there was a woman at the well. Remember, she was a half-breed, a Samaritan, so there was a racial problem at that moment. The disciples were actually surprised to see a Jewish person, Jesus, talking to a Samaritan and her being a woman. Like, why? It wasn't sensual. He never sinned. But why are you talking to this woman? Like, it wouldn't be in social norm. And he was talking, and they were talking about this living water that only Jesus, that Jesus ultimately provides. And they started talking about relationships, and Jesus called her out. You remember that? In love. He goes, you have five husbands. So we don't know what that was. Did she marry to one, then divorce, then marry, then divorce? Or maybe she was sleeping around? We don't know. All we know is, at that moment, there was a quickening of the brain that let them know that there was something more, and it was an answer to the problem. God changed her life. Remember, she went to the town. Her whole life was changed. Come to Jesus. This man who told me everything about my life totally changed. That would never happen without wisdom at the moment. I want to tell everybody in this room, you will have problems, but the Spirit of the living God will quicken your mind at a moment to help you to tell you what needs to get done when you need to get done. Now listen, you can't copycat Pastor John or Solomon or it's you. Matter of fact, what I'm talking to you is not really church work, although we need God's wisdom. It's when you go outside of the church and you're dealing with trouble all around you, sometimes God's going to quicken you and say, keep your mouth shut. That's just a good word of wisdom right there. Sometimes the Lord's going to say, share encouragement with that cashier. You ever felt that before? The Holy Spirit just says, I think you should say something. And you're like, that's not God. That's just me. That'd be weird. No, I don't want them to make fun of me. And you almost talk yourself out of it. You ever notice that? Oftentimes, it's the Spirit of God who's quickening you in a moment, getting a hold of your brain and showing you what you should do. It could be as simple as, let's say, I'll just give you an example. Let's say after church, you're hurrying home, you have responsibilities, and someone next to you has a flat tire. And you get in the car, you say, thank you, Lord, for providing all of my needs. You are a good God, Jehovah Jireh. That sucker, Lord, he must be doing something wrong. But I'm in the, I mean, you got the whole thing. And the Holy Spirit just says to you, I want you to get out and help them. You say, why are you sharing that story? Well, on my way to church today, I had a flat tire. No, I'm just joking. But the Holy Spirit, I'm not saying always. I'm not saying everyone's going to have a flat tire. I'm just telling you, there's going to be moments the Holy Spirit's going to say, I want you to change it. So you make your wife get out there and change. No, you get out there. Listen, if you're in business, you need the Spirit of wisdom. You have problems all day long. You are thinking, you're networking, you're making decisions on the fly. If you go at it in the flesh, it doesn't work. If with the Spirit of the living God, he will quicken your head, your mind, and your heart, and he will lead you. It's what Solomon had for handling problems. I want to tell you, there's nothing that you can't handle. If the Lord's in it, you will overcome. Amen? Number two, Solomon's inspired writings. I want you to see this. This is very unique to Solomon, but 1 Kings 4:29, God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sea on the ocean city seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the people of the East and greater than all the people of all the wisdom of Egypt. Think about that. He was wiser than anyone else, including Ethan, wiser than Heman, Calcol, and Darda, and sons of Mahol. That's impressive. Listen, and his fame spread out to all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs outnumbered 1,005. He spoke about plant life from the cedar of Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of the walls. He also spoke about animals and birds, reptiles and fish. God gave him supernatural wisdom that nobody's ever seen before up until the time of Jesus Christ. Listen to this. He wrote the book of Song of Solomon, the Song of Songs, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Psalm chapter 72, Psalm chapter 127. I think it's interesting that the Bible says that God gave him 3,000 proverbs. Now, if you follow with me and you read the book of Proverbs during the month of August, you're going to read 915 proverbs. So there's actually more than 2,000 proverbs that you're never going to read, that God gave him more. Solomon, something happened in Solomon's heart and his mind with wisdom. The Lord gave this man above and beyond all that he could ever think or imagine. Now, I don't know if you invite wisdom into your heart. You make this a priority. You make it more than gold and precious. You search for it. You say, more than anything else, I want to be a man of wisdom. I don't know what God will do in your life. He's not going to have you reading, he's not going to have you writing more of the Bible. All I know is this, that God's going to open up doors for you. You're going to be introduced to a whole new group of people that you never thought could happen. He's going to give you opportunities, and he's going to take you farther than you ever thought before. You know, God put it on our heart to build a field house. I don't even really like soccer. It's not my sport. It's big around here. But to reach this community, tell more people about Jesus. We needed more parking spots. We picked up 127. God miraculously gave us a builder at just the right time. We needed youth sanctuary space. We need places for our kids, for our preschool and our school to run around. Aftercare, we had great need. We're just packed. We have no space. We need office space. You know, and one of the byproducts is God just kind of showed us as much there. But I know this about God. He wants to do immeasurably more than we ever thought or could imagine. He always takes you far. So whatever you're thinking right now, God wants to do more than you're thinking. So we only know about the 900 some Proverbs, but God actually did more in his life. So I got a text this past week. One of the gentlemen in our church says, hey, did you watch MSNBC, the cable news network, right? I said, no. Carly Lloyd was on there on giving a, what do you call it, like a interview, right? And they said on the interview, they were showing our Instagram account with Carly Lloyd working out in the field house on MSNBC. I thought it was cooler that Carly Lloyd was practicing, the best FIFA player in the whole world. But then they put it on TV. I'm like, Lord, you're so good. All I know is this, that God takes you farther than you ever thought it could happen. He moves you. He blesses you. He helps you. So whatever you're thinking, I tell you what, God wants to do more. He wants to do greater. He wants to take you to places you never thought before. I don't know how it's going to work for you, but trust him. Lean not on your own understanding. You say, well, John, I got it all planned out. I got $100,000 in the bank, a retirement plan. I'm going to move here to move. You don't know anything. Trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. And he wants to prosper. He wants to take it farther. I believe that for Marlton Assembly of God. He wants to spread the light more. He wants more people to come to know him. He wants to bless people and help people. That's what the Lord is all about. We trust him. He's going to give you opportunities moving forward. And finally, Solomon's incredible wealth. We have not seen such a rich man on the planet. And it's very unique to him. But I believe that wealth and this idea that God could trust him went hand in hand together. Well, look at 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 23 says, King Solomon was greater in riches and wisdom than all the other kings on the earth. The whole world sought audience with Solomon to hear the wisdom God. You see how many times they use the word wisdom? Wisdom God had put in his heart. Year after year, everyone who came brought a gift. Articles of silver, gold, robes, weapons, spices, and horses and mules. Solomon accumulated chariots and horses. He had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horses, which he kept in the chariot cities and also with him in Jerusalem. Remember, this is before cars. The king made silver as common in Jerusalem. Notice this. You think that Bill Gates is wealthy? Listen to this. The king made silver as common in Jerusalem as stones and cedar as plentiful as sycamore fig trees in the foothills. Solomon's horses were imported from Egypt and from Coo. The royal merchants purchased them from Coo at the current price. They imported a chariot from Egypt for 600 shekels of silver and a horse for 150. They also exported them to all the kings of the Hittites and our Arameans. This man was extremely wealthy with gold, silver, and precious stones. Listen to this. He fed 10,000 people every day out of his private kitchen, out of his own house. From foreigners every year, they gave him $10 million. And as an inheritance from his father, David, he inherited $5 billion of gold, silver, brass, and iron. Did I say billion? He was extremely wealthy. It took him just 7 years to build the temple for God. They said they built it without making any noise. It was the greatest achievement in 7 years to build Solomon's temple, all because God had given him wisdom. It is critical, if you're in any leadership position, that you would have wisdom. If I'm Hillary or Donald Trump, I would be seeking as much wisdom as possible to lead the country. I would surround myself with the smartest and most God-fearing people I could, because you need to take advantage of coal, oil, and natural gas. There's enough resources in our own country to take care of all the people. There doesn't need to be anybody in poverty in America. You know that, right? And some of these oil-rich countries, there's more than enough oil that comes out of the ground to feed all the people, but you see a couple of people very wealthy and everyone else poor. You need the wisdom of Almighty God inside of leadership, how to handle finances. Churches need it to balance budgets, to reach the poor, to reach the community, to stay on mission, to help with their staffing. But you hear me talk about this. This issue of money is the number one reasons why people divorce. Because if money's not right, it causes friction in a home, especially in New Jersey. It's very expensive. The number one state for car insurance. The number one state for property tax. Gas prices are a little bit low. I saw like 171. I praise God for that. Amen? I'm just driving around. I'm getting some more gas, man. You say, why bring that up? Because there is a sense that those who have wisdom know how to handle finance. Finances is part of our life. Solomon was trusted with large portions of money. Just really quickly, does anyone have like a dollar bill or like a $5 bill, or actually a $100 bill would be great. Thank you, sir, for a $100 bill. It's for the Lord. You know, he gave me a dollar. You guys are smart kids, right? What does that say? It's on the back side. I think we all know this. What does that say? In God we trust. So you hear people talking about people taking that off the dollar bill. In God we trust. Our forefathers, on some level, they wanted the word God to be acknowledged before us, right? Ten Commandments in the State House, put it on the dollar bill or whatever you have. Here, you spend this any way you want. But here's the question. I'm sorry, Paul. God will bless you. Not in this lifetime, but in heaven. You listen. Seek first the kingdom of God. Do not store up treasures in here, but the treasures in heaven. In God we trust. Let's flip it around. Can God trust you? We can trust God. God has never let anyone down. He's always been faithful. He's forgiven our sins. We mess up, he puts us right back up. He's been so good. Nobody can come to the front and say, God's a bad God. We know God's good. If anything's bad, as we are, and our hearts are bad, right? In God we trust. America, we look to God. There's one God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? The God of the Jewish people, and it kind of been engrafted in the Christian people, even if there's like the Catholic. I mean, it's God, it's the God of the Bible that we trust. Even if we kind of mess up, there's still like this umbrella of God's goodness in our life. But here's the flip side. You can even live in this country. The question is this: can God trust you? In God we trust, but can God trust you? For this season of Solomon's life, God could trust him with great wealth. With great wealth comes great responsibility. Some of you in this room, not only do you control your own wealth, but you're a stock trader, you're a broker. You look at other people's wealth. You have other people's responsibilities, their goodwill, their good nature. People lean on you. They trust you. If you're a public servant, you collect taxes, you have a huge responsibility. I have a huge responsibility. How things are handled. Pastor John has a huge responsibility, because if we don't do it right, it messes everybody up. You say, what do you need with finances? Faithfulness, confidentiality, and good judgment. Now, you know what would be great? If God would have taken Solomon out right at this moment. There are some people who are better off dead at a younger age than when they grow older, they mess it up for themselves and other people. King David, he was doing great for a while. But then he sees this beautiful woman on a thing. He takes her in as her own, commits adultery. And if that wasn't bad enough, he takes the husband, Uriah, puts him on the front lines, has him killed. Now there's blood on his hands. He loses his own son. You remember? They're all fasting and believing God. He loses his own son. He can't even build a temple. Now he gives it off to his son. Wouldn't it have been better if he just died at that moment? Or Solomon, the wisest man that's ever lived, ever, so much responsibility. And then all of a sudden you see his life go this way. Next week's sermon kind of builds on this one, where wisdom is not enough. You can have wisdom, but if you don't keep your heart tender before God, if you don't keep trusting the Lord, it could all go downhill. You say, these are the two things that got him, and they get us too. And I'm speaking kind of to men, but mankind. The issue of women and money. Look at Solomon with this issue of money. The next verse. King Solomon, however, and whenever the Bible says however, you got to kind of pick your mind. It's going this direction. However, he was doing good. However, he loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughters. Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonites, Hethites, Hittites. Listen to this. They were from nations about which the Lord told the Israelites, you must not intermarry with them. Don't go on to those online single dating places. Oh, Brazilian women, Russian women, yeah, go meet me. No, no, no. You're not allowed to do that. You must not intermarry with them because they will surely turn your hearts after their gods. Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. He had 700 wives. Men, think with me for a moment. I'm still thinking. Seven. 700 wives. If you just stop there, your brain could fry. It actually keeps going. 700 wives of royal birth. And then let's check it out. Then he has another 300 concubines. 1,000 wives. Listen, Miss Karen, you said nice things about my wife. I'm very familiar with your terminology. The first, I get that. But could you imagine if I had 1,000 first wives in the church? I wouldn't even be able to figure that out. I struggle with one. I have three daughters. I'm trying to figure it all out. Are we okay? Are we good? He had 1,000. You say, John, that's every man's dream. Look what happened. As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods. And his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God as the heart of David his father had. You could have all the wisdom of the world. And I've seen this happen. Mostly to men. You know when you're poor and you're struggling? I remember my wife and I got married. We bought a house for $28,000. $28,000. I know it's just 20 years ago, but $28,000, our mortgage payment was only $150 a month. We were renovating it. I would run to Home Depot, get all the supplies, and I was such an idiot. Like, I would forget something. I had to go back to Home Depot. I went back and forth to the Home Depot, but we were struggling. We're going to do it. We're asking God to bless us. And we sold that house for $56,000. And we bought another house for $175,000. And we renovated that. We lived in it while we renovated. Oh, Lord, if you'll bless us. And you get to a point where you're working and striving. And you start having kids. And it's about the kids. And then all of a sudden, you get success. And you say, look what I've done. You get a promotion. And you're in charge of people. They like you. And they give you more people. And they give you a 401k. And then they give you medical with dental. And then you have a car. And then your boss goes on vacation and drives his Jaguar. And you remember when you were poor? You had like 2 weeks off. You know what poor people do when they want like 2 weeks off? They just stay home. They don't go anywhere. But now all of a sudden you get 3 weeks off. And you can go to Disney, and they get you that band. You spend $9 million there. And you say, my kids, they don't even know what's going on. It's too hot, and they let too many people in the park. And then all of a sudden, your life grows, and you're accomplished. But beware. Once you think you arrive, you could be like Solomon in a moment. Oh, John, I would never do that. Dude, anybody's heart can go the wrong way. Solomon. God elevated him with wisdom. He was humble before God. God, I don't know what I'm doing. I got a lot of people, a lot of responsibilities. Like, there's a lot of kids, people. Lord, just show me. Lord, more than anything else, not long life, not victory over my enemies, not jewels, but Lord, if you'll just give me the wisdom to lead this people. A lot of people have like this tender heart before God when they're young. They don't have any money. They don't have any prestige. They're just kind of on the bottom rung. And then all of a sudden, you start accomplishing something. And at that moment, your heart could take you the wrong way. Now, what's wrong with missing a couple weeks from church? My kids really don't need youth group. There's a sleepover on Saturday night into Sunday. John, come on, you're just your kids, you know, it's like a dance. I know there's secular music and they're all going to shore after. And you see it on social network where they got the red cups. No one's dumb. Am I speaking the truth?
Yeah, man, it's my friends, man.
And it's just kind of like this slow fade. And next thing you know, instead of like Miriam and I, we're sweating out 56. We bought a house for $28,000 going back and forth. No kid, we're going to do it. We're crazy people. We live in an all-black neighborhood. The next door neighbors were white. They were the most racist people in the world. Like, we're trying to say, we're not like them. Everyone's like, you both are white. No, they're different white people. I mean, it was just like, ah! Man, our neighbor, we didn't know the neighborhood was rough. This is in Orange, New Jersey. They used to throw rocks at the ice cream man. I'm like, you don't throw rocks at the ice cream truck. Come on. We love the ice cream truck, man. You're all down and beaten. You're driving all jalopy cars and getting your car stolen. And all of a sudden, God lifts you up. And there's a responsibility that comes lifting us up. And I'm going to say this to our church. I believe God has lifted us up. He's helped us. Every staff person, every deacon, it's a privilege to work at Marlton Assembly of God. We have a great school. It's thriving. We have waiting lists. We built a prime building. It's on a scale of 1 to 10. It's an 11. God has blessed us. He's helped us. But if we're not careful, if we don't pause and say, Lord, right now, we need your wisdom to move forward and take advantage of what you're giving us, we will fail just like Solomon and David. God has called us at this hour to have more wisdom than ever before in our lives. Our goal should be not to be so much like David or Solomon, but maybe more like Joseph. Lord, let me finish strong. I want to follow you the rest of my life. Yeah, there's temptations, there's all this, but Lord, the wisdom would be to focus in on you and trust you with all my heart. Lean not on, but yeah, but my friends, they got this, and they have more money, and look at their house, and look on Facebook lives, and all this different stuff. But in our heart has to be right before God. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Man, if you read Proverbs chapter 7, for every man in that room, every young man, you need to read that one over and over and over and over again. So when the adulteress calls for you, the young man, he decides to go and follow the ways. Oh, your husband's gone, and he goes and stays at night. Oh, be careful what you do. So your eyes must be focused on Jesus, the author, perfecter of faith, and the Lord will show you. He's a good God. And real wisdom is no longer with Solomon, because Matthew 12, verse 42, and behold, something greater than Solomon is here. Jesus Christ is here. He is the wisdom of our salvation. In him we have all of life. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 24 says this. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Say, John, I want to walk in wisdom. I want my life to count. I want to do something great for God. I don't want to lie in my casket having all this regret. I want to do something great for God. The most important thing you could ever do is line your life up with Jesus Christ and his will, the wisdom of Almighty God. And some of us know that. We've been out in the world, right? We've done some bad stuff. And boy, did that not bring satisfaction. We drank. We smoked. We slept. We gambled, we lied, we cheated, we hustled, whatever you want. And it didn't work, it didn't satisfy. But when we focus our eyes on Jesus, he gave us a deep satisfaction. This actually works. But listen, if you're looking for wisdom, like here, you're going to be in trouble. Remember, where does wisdom come from? It comes from above. Job said it like this. I want to read this to you. But though men can do all these things, they don't know where to find wisdom and understanding. They not only don't know how to get it, but in fact, it is not to be found among the living. It's not here. The oceans say, and the seas reply, nor is it here. It cannot be bought for gold or silver, nor for all the gold of Ophir or precious onyx stones or sapphires. Wisdom is far more valuable than gold and glass. It cannot be bought for jewels, mounted in fine gold. Coral or crystal is worthless in trying to get it. Its price is far above rubies. Topaz from Ethiopia cannot purchase it, nor even the purest gold. Then where can you get it? Where can wisdom be found? For it is hid from the eyes of all mankind. Even the sharp-eyed birds in the sky cannot discover it. But destruction and death speak of knowing something about it. Listen to that. Destruction and death speak about wisdom more than us. And God surely knows where it is to be found. For he looks throughout the whole world, under the heavens. He makes the winds blow and sets the boundaries of the ocean. He makes the laws of the rain and a path for the lightning. He knows where wisdom is and declares to all who will listen. He established it and examined it thoroughly. And this is what he says to all mankind. Look, to fear the Lord is true wisdom. To forsake evil is real understanding. You will find wisdom in the cross of Jesus Christ. You need to hear this. There's only two things that last forever: God's word and people. We must invest in the truth of God's word and in people, our own lives and other people's lives. That is wisdom. You say, oh, John, I have a lot of time. I'm 20 years old. I have a lot. No, you don't. Life is like a mist, here today, gone tomorrow. Line up your life with Jesus Christ. Have fear of God. Trust him in his word and his laws and obey him. You say, well, John, we're in 2016. Look what the Democrats, look what the Republicans are saying. And come on, John, that sounds so old school. And these things. Listen, if you line up your life with Jesus Christ, that's the beginning of wisdom in your life, and you don't want to waste your life, you say, count me in for wisdom. I want to tell you, if you'll open up your heart, you'll humble yourself. I don't care if you're young or old. Say, Jesus, I'm tender before you. Teach me your ways. The Lord will show you. He'll bring it from heaven down into your heart. He'll bring it down from heaven and from the word of God into your heart so you can be wise. Would you pray with me?